Twin Cindy is having problems. It's Brian here. I think I'll read the moment of reflection. Compassion is a deep empathy for another who is suffering or living with misfortune. It is understanding and caring, and a strong desire to ease their distress. Compassion flows freely from our hearts, and when we let go of judgments and seek to understand, our compassionate presence helps people to know they are not alone. Sometimes they don't need us to fix anything. They only need to be heard with compassion. Cindy, I'm just reading the reflection, then you can come on.
Okay.
So that when they can connect to their own inner wisdom, we need our own compassion as much as others do. Whether a silent prayer or a respectful bow, compassion is a priceless gift. I'm thankful for the gift of compassion. It stirs my heart. Go ahead, Cindy.
Sorry about that. Little technical difficulty. So good morning, everyone. And so glad that you called in this morning. We were hoping for a few more voices to be heard. I know we changed the entrance from last week where you entered and there was just music. But we opened up the line so that we could hear you as you spoke your names and greeted each other. So hopefully we will get into a new habit and see how this works. But welcome. And just wanted to let you know that last week we had 77 callers phone into the conference call, which are 12 more calls than the week before. And next Sunday is Easter Sunday, so I always live in hope. So I'm hoping for a few more callers so that miracles, as you know, do happen. So welcome to our third conference call worship service for Baby United. People are continuing to enjoy our services together, and I even heard that some people were practicing the hymns before the service. Many people loved Lauren's solo, and I know everyone will enjoy Penny's solo today. We are still refining the service and seeking ways to make it more enjoyable and meaningful for everyone. As a result, we are having our soloists sing the words to the hymns a cappella after Karen plays an introductory verse. And after the service, feel free once again to send an email or call or call Kaz or Brian or myself to let us know how your experience was. Today is Palm Sunday, and we will be celebrating the sacrament of communion together. So I invite you to have a piece of bread or a cracker to eat and a beverage to drink when we share the elements later in the service. I heard some people may even use the original drink, so enjoy. I want to thank Karen for playing for our service, John Brooker for reading our scripture and communion liturgy, and our two soloists, Penny and Lauren, for singing. By the way, Justin, our tenor, is not able to participate in our services for the time being. And as always, I want to thank Brian, our moderator, for the service. I had another birdie from the same household as last week tell me that today is Dee Dee's birthday. So happy birthday, Dee Dee. Karen is going to play Happy Birthday, and we can all join in singing Happy Birthday to Dee Dee in our own homes. And Dee Dee, you will be serenaded by Brian. Hear you singing, for as the scriptures say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So let us take a moment to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Hey, what's going on? There's so much laughing and dancing. What's with all this noise and commotion? Oh, I know what's happening. It's Jesus. I see him coming through the main gate of Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. People are waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord our God. This is wonderful. Jesus looks so happy and the people are so excited. Let's clap our hands and wave our arms as we too celebrate and welcome Jesus to our worship.
So the disciples went and did what Jesus to do. They brought the donkey and the colt, threw their cloaks over them, and Jesus got on. A large crowd of people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds walking in front of Jesus and those walking behind began to shout, "Praise to David's son! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise be to God." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar. "Who is he?" the people asked. "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee," the crowds answered. May God's blessing be added to this reading.
Kenny, we're ready for your solo. Press star 7 to unmute. We're ready for your solo. Press star 7 to unmute. Cindy, I think that Penny is on mute and she cannot hear us because her phone is away from her. So maybe you should start her sermon and then we'll cue her first to redo her solo later after your sermon.
Okay. On Palm Sunday, 4-year-old Jason had to stay home from church with his mother because he had recently broken his arm. When his dad got home from church that day, he was carrying a palm branch. Jason asked his dad, "What's that for?" And his dad said, "Well, people waved them as Jesus rode by on a donkey." Jason was disappointed, and he replied, "Wouldn't you know it? The one Sunday I can't go to church is the one Sunday Jesus shows up." It's easy to get caught up in the drama of the story. Jesus riding a donkey with cloaks and palm branches, shouts of Hosanna, and turmoil in the streets of Jerusalem. There's so much action that it's easy to pass over the details. But it's interesting to notice when you read Matthew's description about Palm Sunday that Matthew says Jesus rode a donkey and her baby colt. However, in Mark, Luke, and John, we read that Jesus rode a donkey without the mention of her colt. I really couldn't imagine Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and a colt at the same time. He would have to have very long legs to straddle a donkey and a colt at the same time. It seems ridiculous. So what did Matthew mean when he wrote this? In Cornelius Lepew's commentary on the passage, he says, Jesus first rode the donkey up and down the Mount of Olives, and then he transferred over to the other animal and rode the colt into the city. The question is, why did Jesus do this? There's a practical reason for this. The she-donkey would be stronger and more able to go up and down the Mount of Olives. The colt would then be able to carry Jesus into the city easily. It is believed that the she-donkey and the colt represent two groups of people known in Jesus' day. One group of people were the Jewish people, who were accustomed to following the law very closely. The donkey represents the Jewish people. The Gentiles were known as the people who did not live out the law of God. The colt, for Matthew, represents the Gentiles. Ultimately, the she-donkey represents Mother Israel, who has been burdened with the law of Moses. The young colt represents the Gentiles, who were not seen as pure Jewish because they had intermarried with the Babylonians. They were the inferior group of people. So when Matthew has Jesus riding into Jerusalem on a donkey and on a colt, Matthew is saying both the Jewish and the Gentile peoples are equally part of God's family. They are all children of God. But Jesus was symbolically enacting what the Apostle Paul proclaimed in Galatians 3. There is no longer Jew or Greek, no slave or free, no male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus. Thus the colt and the donkey represent Jesus breaking down the barriers between all people and all nations and putting young newborns and seasoned seniors and the whole world on equal footing. Matthew also connects the Palm Sunday parade to the Hebrew scripture and quotes the text from Zechariah, who wrote, "Behold, your king comes to you, triumphant and victorious. He is humble and rides on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The significance of Jesus riding on a donkey during Palm Sunday parade in Jerusalem was a sign to the people that the king came in peace. If Jesus had come on a horse, it meant that the king came in a spirit of war. And this was not the only procession that happened that day. Historians say that there is a record that in 30 AD, that the governor of Judea, Pontius Pilate, led a procession of Roman soldiers into the city of Jerusalem. He traveled from his headquarters in Caesarea by the sea. Pilate and his soldiers would have entered the city on horseback. Some soldiers would have marched in carrying swords and spears and bows and arrows. It was standard practice for the Roman governor of a foreign territory to be in its capital for religious celebrations. It was the start of Passover, so the governor needed to be in Jerusalem. Pilate's procession showed the military might and strength of the Romans. Jesus' procession shows the peaceful manner in which he came to Jerusalem. Jesus chose to be a leader who sought to bring peace to the Jewish people. He ultimately wanted to show his disciples the importance of following God's way of love. It was not an easy message to bring to a people who were being oppressed by the Roman government and taken advantage by the Jewish religious leaders. Yet Jesus led by example. He used his own life actions to teach his followers. There are many examples of people who have become incredible leaders because they were willing to stand up against injustices around them. I think of people like Greta Thunberg, the Swedish activist, who at 15 stood on the steps of her parliament with a sign, "Strike for climate," she said, until she inspired the whole worldwide movement. And she continues today to stand up to the world leaders, bringing her message of urgency to deal with the climate crisis. I also think of a group of people in 1970, 9 African-American football players from Syracuse University boycotted playing on the team because of racial discrimination. Specifically, they boycotted for access to the same academic tutoring made available to their white teammates. They boycotted for better medical care for all team members. They boycotted for starting football assignments that were based on merit rather than race. also boycotted seeking to racially integrate the coaching staff, which had been all white since 1898. These nine players were eventually suspended from the team. But with the support from the faculty and the chancellor of the university, they were able to complete their degrees. But none of them were drafted to the NFL. And one was drafted here to the CFL, the Canadian Football League, but was soon let go because of outside pressure from the National Football League in the States. The Canadian Football League team said and told the player that he came with too much baggage, so he had to be let go from the team. The nine football players said they didn't do this protest for spite or to hurt people. They did it all to make the world a better place for more equality and justice. In 2006, 36 years after this event happened, the nine players were given a formal apology by Syracuse University and presented with the Chancellor's Medal along with their Letterman jackets. The presentation took place at a Syracuse football game. They were given a standing ovation by the crowd. The chancellor who had supported them at the time in the 1970s was also there. Tears and smiles filled all of their faces. Ultimately, these men were so proud that they stood up against the discrimination. They too are excellent leaders. It is important for their voices to continue to be heard today. We are all called to be in this Palm Sunday parade with Jesus, to stand up against injustices and stand tall with the oppressed. United, we can stand strong together as God's people of love and hope. The question is, are you willing to join Jesus' Palm Sunday parade for justice, peace, and compassionate love? Amen. Penny, if you are able, we'd love to hear your solo of the Lord's Prayer.
Penny, press star 7 to unmute your microphone. I think you have to go to the invitation to the table.
Okay.
And Karen, since Penny is unable to join for some reason, I think you're going to have to play the hymn 130 on your own rather than Penny sing it.
Actually, Brian, Lauren's going to sing it.
Lauren's just, okay, great.
Okay.
Communion comes from the words common, human, and community. Communion is an invitation to come together in unity with God and one another. Communion is an opportunity to remember that life is a gift from God, meant to be shared, especially in the tough times. When the disciples gathered with Jesus in the upper room, it was the last chance for Jesus to remind them of his main teaching, to love God, to love one another, and to love yourself. Ultimately, Jesus wanted them to remember God would always be with them. And so I invite you to share in the feast of God's table that reaches into your individual homes to nourish and comfort you. Let us remember, we are all united as a family of God, and we are all welcome at God's table. So let us join in singing, "An Upper Room Did Our Lord Prepare."
An upper room did our Lord prepare. memory of my mother, Mildred Tibbles.
I now invite you
to eat a piece of the bread or cracker that you have before you. As we eat together, may we be nourished in God's love. I invite you now to take a drink from the beverage that is before you. As we drink together, may we be touched by God's love in our hearts. Let us now join together in our post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Companion God, thank you for the gift of everyday bread and beverages that remind us of your life within us and your promise to be with us. Thank you for the gift of community and all who stand in solidarity with us through whatever lies ahead. May your infinite love guide and comfort all of us all the days of our life. Amen. So let us join in our last hymn, Sent Forth by God's Blessing.
Died. And then on April 12th,
Please call in for our Easter Sunday conference call worship service. You will hear an Easter trumpet fanfare and solo by John Little. Let's celebrate the joy of Easter together. Please remember to be careful, following all the medical experts' advice as you go into your days. I pray that you will all stay safe, and I will look forward to worshiping with you on Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. I'll now close with the blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with kindness and give you peace. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of God's hand. Amen.
Welcome to the instant replay system. Pour continuer en français, appuyez sur étoile. Please enter your conference passcode followed by pound. Please enter your conference passcode followed by pound. Please enter your conference passcode followed by pound.